This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with 125,000 members and nearly 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available as a podcast on iTunes. Simply go to the podcast app on your iPhone or iPad and search for DC 37 State of the Union. You can check out our website, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Oh, by the way, I didn't say what my website is. My website is www.dc37.net. And if you've got any comments about the show, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. If you are a DC 37 member and you're part of a community group and you want to promote an event, please feel free to drop us a line, stateoftheunion@dc37.net, and we will, if you give us enough time, we'll try to promote it on the air. So tonight with us is Sean D. Francois I. He is the president of the New York City Board of Education Employees Local 372 and the new president of DC 37. He was elected in January. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on winning the election. And you have been on the board of the on the executive board, DC 37, since 2014. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct.
And you were elected president of 372. I remember you're talking a lot about change and new voices and bringing new voices to the union. What do you see how do you see your role? Let's talk a little bit about how you see your role as the new president of DC 37.
Well, pretty much just to bring some enthusiasm, a little bit more energy. I'm trying to bring a little change, whereas change in the prospect of that, such as the committees, making the committees more profound, making them committees more, to have more participants. I'm trying to make sure that we bring it as one union. There's 57 locals in this council, but when you have a number attached to it, like 372, 371, what happens is, it becomes diverse. We need to bring it back together. This is still one union. We're under one council. We're under one umbrella. So I want people to understand that, yes, we have different locals and we have different respective things that we need to do for our members, but we're all here for the same reasons, for the same cause. So let's make it as one union. And that's my goal, to bring back that structure of that solidarity, you know, that one entity, that all together as one.
That's interesting because there are, you know, DC 37, as you say, there are 57 local unions that make up DC 37. There are 1,000 job titles. There are a lot of different local numbers. That's all confusing. But I think the average member often says DC 37, and that means something to that person, that's the union. And I think that's what you're tapping into here, or trying to tap into, the idea that there is a there is a bigger thing than each of us individually.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, and it takes the communication to bring that forth. It takes the leadership person to be that way in himself first. You know, you got that. Some things is a natural ability. Some things is, I mean, gratefully, I'm happy to be a people's person. I'm happy to be a type of person that likes that type of atmosphere.
Right.
You know, even in my own office, say me too, I demand that. You know, I even tell my secretary, I don't care if you're having a bad day, if you're mad, don't members should come in and know that. They should not know that you're pissed off for what happened at home or whatever the case may be. You still put a smile on your face regardless. The fake smile, fine, I take that. You know what I'm saying? But at least the member, yes, absolutely. Like the member doesn't think that you're near, because you think that if services ain't rendered because you have the attitude. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So we don't need that.
Yep.
So let's keep it, keep a smile on your face and keep it going.
Now, where you're coming from is Local 372 represents 20,000 school.
25,000. 25,000 almost.
And those are school crossing guards. Those are Board of Education, food services folks.
Yes, office workers, community titles, family workers, loading handlers. Yes, all the above.
How did you, if you don't mind, how did you come to the union? And what made you want to be part of the union?
Well, I had a mentor way back. As you know, my predecessor way back was Charles Hughes, some time ago.
The former president of 72.
Right. And I used to come up to Union Hall as a young man, as a young teenager. I used to come up here because I had a friend of mine, which was his son. So I used to travel to him up to Union Hall and just to be amazed about, how it works and, how it is. But to top it off, especially when I started working for the DOE and I seen the improprieties, I seen all the injustice, I seen all the mismanagement and the safety concern. I mean, I was like, this is ridiculous. So I became a shop steward. And I became a chapter chair. Then chapter chair, I came on the board. And from that point on, it just escalated me to do more, to want to do more. The more I was doing, the more I wanted to do. The more I see my voice was being heard for others, I wanted that to be heard even more. So it just escalated from there. And then from that point on, I became the president of my local, which is the largest local in the council. And that gave me the experience now to raise the platform for me now to go and be the president of DC-37, which now deals with 125,000 members. So,
right.
But I'm just glad the experience came from being having the largest local to give you that platform to stand on.
I think there are some folks who sometimes think, well, first of all, I know that our folks are very busy. They have very busy lives, and they can't always get involved in every meeting or every committee or every whatever. But there is, I also think that there might be some intimidation. I'm new. If I'm a new employee, for example, how do I get involved, and what do I have to do? And did you find that you were always encouraged, and how important is it to encourage folks who may be on the outside of the ring, thinking about getting closer in? And how do we encourage them to come closer to the work of the union?
Well, you got to understand first what the union is about. They got to understand how the union has structured this middle class. They got to understand how probably their mothers and fathers grew up on union. Monetary money for them to survive and health care and all that stuff. They got to say, if you don't have it, what happens if you don't have it? That's the
right.
Big question. The question sometimes is, don't ask yourself what happens if you do have it. Ask yourself if you don't have it, what happens? Go to the pharmacy. Go to the doctor. I was just told the other day a Band-Aid costs 28 cents in the hospital. A Band-Aid.
Right, right.
So this is ridiculous. I'm just saying to them, we have to educate them on the benefits a union can provide for them as a collective body, as opposed to as an individual body. We understand all the things that union has done for people in society in the middle class structure. And we got to understand, educate them that, listen, unions is about a bunch of people together, which is strength and solidarity as a whole.
And with that solidarity is where the strength comes from. I mean, try to do that on your own. It's not about you trying to get that done, because it's about us trying to get that done.
Absolutely. It's a weak thing,
The union's been working very hard, I think, in the past few years, since the Janus case was first out there on the horizon. And there's been a change, I think, throughout AFSCME across the country, and particularly here in New York, to get closer to the membership and to get closer. How do you think that the union has responded to this threat from folks who are trying to bust public employee unions?
Let me tell you this. The union has responded amazingly, extremely well. This is supposed to be the downfall. This is supposed to be the end of all union.
Right.
This is supposed to be the one. This is the one that will take us out.
Well, that's what they want.
Brother, it took the opposite turn. It made us stronger. It made us better. In fact, if you look at the statistics, the union membership is climbing right now. As far as AFSCME is concerned, I know that's for sure.
Right.
I don't know if you look at other people's reports, but I know as far as AFSCME is concerned, we're climbing more so now than ever before.
Yep.
So all they did was unify us. All they did was open up that cage and let us out and let us know, we're here to make some noise. We're here to make a difference. We went out there, boots on the ground, making sure our members understand to stay in. Don't opt out. Make sure this is something that you understand that the union is something you need. You understand? Don't opt out of something. So it was some hard work. It was some hard work.
And how are you getting along with the new chancellor, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, very well. As soon as he got in office, I met with him. First thing I want to do is meet with him to get that one-on-one, to understand what's going on the inner circle. Sometimes you see things on the outer circle.
Right.
I need him to see the realness on the inner circle. And I need to meet with him again. I need to meet him again. So if you're listening, Chancellor, please meet up with you again.
So, memo to the Chancellor.
We had a good conversation. He's down to earth. You can tell he's real people. He wants to make a difference. You can tell he wants to bring good diversity inside this in the school system.
We're talking with Sean D. Francois, the first, the new president of DC 37. He's the head of the local 372, the largest local within District Council 37, representing 24,000 Department of Education employees. And again, that's school crossing guards, that's food service folks, that's lunchroom aides, loaders and handlers, kitchen staff, paraprofessionals, SAPIS counselors. Counselors, have I left anybody out?
School aides. Absolutely.
So going back now, part of the role of president of the council is to work within the committee structure. There were different committees that focus on different issues. What are some of the issues that are focused on through committees, and how is that going to work in the year ahead?
You got a lot of different committees, very good committees. You got the civil service committees. You got the disability health committees. You have the women's committees. You have the, so much different, some type of committee, housing committee. These kids are very important for the members to get engaged, to come out and bring it out, not to the other members on the outside. You know, so they can come in, they can get the help they need. You know, they get speakers to come in to educate them on certain services that's out there that people aren't aware of. You know, things that's free services that you don't got to pay for. So it's just about having that structure of educating the members to talk to other members to bring education to the whole community. So that way people understand the services that's there, so you can go ahead and get those services and make sure that you take and utilize those services to your needs.
Before I let you go, we've got about 45 seconds left. Is there some question I should have asked you that you would have wanted to give a shout out? Anything you want to give a shout out about?
No, you answered everything pretty well. I just want people to know that I'm here to make the council a better place. I'm not here to negatively put down any person, you know, that I ran, you know, against, anything like that. Everybody had their time. I'm here to build on a legacy of what Eddie Rodriguez left before us.
The former president.
I want to make sure that he understands that there's no negativity here. I'm just here to make it better, but bring some enthusiasm and some energy to the council.
Eddie Rodriguez
and bring my passion.
Eddie Rodriguez is the former president of DC 37. He continues as the president of Local 1549. Sean D. Francois I, the president of Local 372. Sir, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us, and you will be back on the show again soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. In this next segment, we're going to talk about the pay gap between EMS officers and uniformed EMTs and paramedics and other uniformed first responders. Joining us by phone individually are local 3621 President Vincent Variali and uniformed EMTs and paramedics local 2507 President Oren Bozole. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's just get right to it. There is, and you have been trying to make the case for, and you've been making the case for, why your members need to get better pay that puts them more on par with other first responders throughout the country. Oren, let me ask you to talk a little bit about what the situation is.
Well, first, thank you for having me on.
It's always a pleasure.
There's a huge pay gap between the uniformed services in New York City. It's estimated anywhere between $30,000 to $40,000, depending on which level of training you have. We respond to every emergency 911 call that comes into New York City. We stand side by side, we work side by side, and we engage side by side with FDNY, firefighters, police officers. Every 911 call that they go to, we're there with them. Yet, we are not compensated equally. Our job is just as dangerous. We're exposed to the same elements that they are. And our members are just not being recognized by this city for the work that we do. We respond to over a million calls a year. And the compensation is so different that it's time that the mayor takes his own words of equality serious.
Now, I woke up last week, the front page of the Daily News was talking about the number of calls that are being handled, the amount of work that's being done. And tell us a little bit about who your members are. Vinny, why don't you take that?
Okay. Thank you for giving me the opportunity today. I represent over 500 EMS lieutenants and captains of the New York City Fire Department. We supervise all the all the EMTs and paramedics in the 911 system. That also includes the privates in the system. So we responded in that Daily News article. It stated that the FDNY responded to 1.8 million calls a year.
That's a lot of calls.
1.5 million of those calls were EMS calls. But as Oren said, that we respond to these calls, we work shoulder to shoulder with police and fire, yet we do not share the same pay or benefits that they have. The mayor, when asked about this, made a remark that we're different. That's why we don't. Our work is different. That's what he said about EMS. That's why we don't get that. And we agree with that. Our work is different. Police work is different than fire work. Fire is different than EMS work. We're all different. But where the common bond is shared is that we're all first responders responding to life-threatening emergencies to save lives. And we all provide a focus and a function and a role that does just that. And the only difference I see when I look around the room is that EMS is not being paid properly, is not being staffed properly, and is not being supported properly.
Now, there's also, I'm looking at the Daily News story, and it says, to make the breakdown of the calls that were made last year even more astounding, EMS handled these 1.5 million calls with approximately 4,000 emergency medical technicians and paramedics, fewer than half of the 11,000 firefighters and fire officers on the FDNY roster. That is an amazing amount. That is an amazing number of calls, and it's just amazing what you can do.
We're the smallest service out of all of them. There are more sanitation workers in the city of New York. I believe the number is at 6,500 or 6,800, and EMS is at with the supervisors, EMS is at 4,500. So there are more sanitation workers in the city of New York than there are emergency medical service members. The sanitation person coming to pick up your trash is earning $40,000 more a year than the EMT coming to save your life.
And there have been, Oren, that, last year, I believe it was last year, the tragic death of Yadira Arroyo, which was something that moved us all at DC 37. And knowing that people are putting their lives on the line to do the job when you're out there handling all those calls. I mean, talk a little bit about some of those calls, if you would, Oren. You don't always know what you're always walking into, right?
No, I mean, I'll give you an example of an incident that happened last year. We had a call for a psychiatric patient. Our crew arrived on scene. The police was there. They followed in with a police officer. The men inside unloaded his gun, striking the police officer that was standing right between them. Jeez. That's the kind of dangers that we're faced with.
And you, as you say, there are a lot of these calls. I mean, when you're dealing with the public, there is always a certain volatility factor. I mean, and you're dealing with a lot of people with different problems. Where are you in this process now of trying to get the attention of the city in terms of addressing this disparity?
Well, we're trying to bring it out to light to the public, to council members, to show them the disparity of treatment between us and other uniformed services. One of the issues that we strongly believe is that we have a majority of our workforce is minorities and women.
Right. Right. And how do they get to this job? I'm always fascinated by the folks who do this work. How does someone come to EMS and come to become an EMT? And who, talk a little bit about who the people are on the front lines, if you would.
Vinny, you want to take this one or you want me to?
Sure. I know everybody has a unique experience. Not just anybody, I believe, can do this job. It's really, when we say it's a calling, it really truly is a calling. You have to really love helping people and doing a job that's vital and essential to society. We're doing everything from responding to grandma who might have woken up 2 a.m. confused and just needs somebody there to assure her everything's okay, to the 3-year-old who stopped breathing in the middle of the night, and we're there doing CPR to bring them back to life. So it really takes a special person and a strong person with a strong mind and to be able to control their emotions during these horrific times in people's lives, dealing with death constantly. You know, PTSD is a serious problem at EMS because we have to control and see all these horrific events and control our emotions, not let them – we have to be compassionate at one point, but not let them get control us during an emergency like that. I know for me – what made me fascinated by EMS was the first time I've seen EMTs work back when the Health and Hospitals Corporation days, work on the scene of a fire and help, make a long story short, save 2 children in that fire. I looked at that and was fascinated. When I started to research about becoming an EMT, I just fell in love with the job immediately. And I think a lot of people have other stories that they've seen or done and thought this was for me. And this is definitely a job I would love doing.
We're talking with EMS Officers Local 3621 President Vincent Varialli and Uniformed EMTs and Paramedics Local President, Local 2507 President Oren Bosley. Oren, talk a little bit, if you would, about what the morale is now, given what's going on with this number of calls and the amount of work. Go ahead.
The morale is extremely low. When our members sit down at a street corner on a daily basis, regardless what the weather is, knowing that they cannot get a 5-minute meal break or a bathroom break with somebody constantly watching them to see what they're doing, the inhumane condition just constantly brings our members' morale down, because jobs are constantly stacking up. You know, people waiting for an ambulance is never ending. So with 4,000 to 5,000 calls a day, with a workforce so small, our members don't have a downtime, any downtime.
And what's go ahead.
It's impacting on our members mentally, physically, emotionally, knowing that they want to help the public, but nobody's helping them.
We've got a couple of minutes left. Let me ask you, other cities, what, compare, one of you take this, whichever one of you wants to take this, what's the experience like in other cities in terms of how EMS is run and what the pay scale is like? Vincent, is that something you could talk about?
Yeah, don't worry, I'll answer. So when I looked at, when I know I have contacts and relationships with the EMS in Boston and Pittsburgh, for example, and the EMS system is well-supported, well-paid, and because of that, they have a line of people waiting to take the job. They also have people who are, the morale is up, and the people are dedicated and look forward to the career in EMS there, because there is one. And they have specialty units there. For example, Pittsburgh EMS rides the rivers on the boats. They also have a motorcycle unit to help get them in and out of traffic. Paramedics go in and out of traffic there. Boston has counterterrorism and tactical paramedics units. They also have many of these EMS organizations have career ladders into emergency medicine. That's what EMS is. We're the science of emergency medicine. And in those particular examples, EMS is well-supported and well-funded, and the people of the city in those cities get an excellent service out of it. In New York City, our EMTs and paramedics get the job done in spite of the lack of support, pay, and benefits we receive.
Oren, I'm going to give you the last word. You've got about 45 seconds. Tell us whatever you want to tell us.
I just want to piggyback on what Vinny said with those in regards to those cities. Those agencies are EMS standalone services, meaning their entire focus is on EMS. It's not about fire or police. It's a standalone EMS service that dedicates funds and improvement into the EMS services.
Listen, gentlemen, thank you very much for taking the time to talk about this. You have an obviously an open door at on the show to talk about this and any other issue that you want, whenever you want. Vincent Variali is the president of EMS Offices Local 3621. Oren Bozile is the president of Uniformed EMTs and Paramedics Local 2507. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the show. Before we go, a couple of announcements. On February 20th, the Municipal Employee Legal Services will be holding a workshop on taxes at 6 p.m. at Union Headquarters. For details, call 212-815-1111. And DC 37 concludes its month-long celebration of Black History with the finale on Thursday, February 28th at 6 p.m. at Union Headquarters. For more details, check out the website, www.dc37.net. I want to thank our guests. First of all, DC 37 President Sean Francois I, and Vincent Variali and Oren Bozile, the presidents of the Supervisors and EMT Local, for joining us this evening. Rudy Orozco is the producer. Sound engineer is Andrea Minocchio. I'm Chris Policano. Until next time, ciao.